Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.
And weight loss with Iveem, the top prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveem makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveem. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Officially down 120 pounds.
I am down 34 pounds.
Food cravings have subsided. I'm feeling amazing in my clothes.
I'm feeling better. I feel like I have more energy.
The process is a breeze. I can message my doctor at any time, and the entire prescription and medication was sent right to my door. Weight Care has helped over 15,000 people lose weight. Join them today and get $150 off your first month. Book your appointment at joinweightcare.com.
Change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today. Welcome, welcome to the Plus Sides Podcast.
Here we go.
How's everybody doing? This is applause inside.
Language. I know.
That is a thing for me, by the way. I have a bucket list. One, swim with dolphins. And two, I want to learn sign language. I don't know why. Aww. I just really want to. I just want to. If you think about it, I talk with my hands constantly. It only makes sense. We're glad to have you here. This is season 3 of the Plus Sides Podcast. Definitely evolved in health and wellness podcast, where we talk about everything. I mean, related diseases and disorders to obesity. So, you know, type 2, we talk about all other things like PCOS and insulin resistance and just like all the things in the land. And we are so glad to have you here with
us. We bring on experts, anywhere from like dietitians to doctors to GPs to nurse practitioners, all this different stuff, like nutritionalists. We're just talking about all things, cognitive behavioral therapists, because we know that what a lot of us have learned and going through this journey together on GLP-1s is that it's actually all about health. It was never about weight. It was never about weight. The weight was the symptom. The weight was the symptom.
Yeah. Right?
So now we're treating the disease, which is solving those symptoms. But what about all those things that come with it, right? What about the mental piece? What about the movement piece? What about the nutrition? Like, how do we live our best full lives? Right? So we are going to discover that here. We're glad to have you. Again, my name is Kim, DMF Kim Amanjaro. This podcast was born out of a TikTok community, if you will. And we just wanted to talk about this more. And we only had 3 to 10 minutes. I don't think we had 10 minutes when we started. We only could do 3 minutes videos. It was like 30 seconds, 60 seconds. And I think 3 minutes. Remember when 3 minutes came, we were like, oh my God,
3 minutes. Was a big thing.
And then we had 10. I try to never do 10. I feel like, let's just go to the podcast. Ain't nobody going to watch no 10-minute TikTok. These people have, I'm telling you, you look at the stats.
I did an 8-minute TikTok.
Did they watch it? I'm telling you, if you look at the stats, they're not watching it.
Yeah, they probably aren't. But
they're not. They're not. It'll be like, how many, what percentage of people watch this out of 1 million? It'll be like 4. 4 people watch the whole video. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. It's true, though. But anyway, that's who I am. I take Manjaro, but I've taken all of them. I think they're amazing medications. It's changed my life, changed my brain, changed my spirit, everything. Plus losing all the weight, I also gained a lot of friends. And that's what where we're at. Kat, hey, who are you? What you doing?
Hey, I'm Kat. Kat7. Shameless plug. Please follow me on TikTok. I'm trying to get to the cover.
Please do. Shameless. Please. Plus you're missing out on all the funny things. She's funny. Way funnier than me.
I do butt stuff. Not like that. I mean, I might consider
the exercises.
Exercises.
Yeah.
Kat Carter7, please follow
me. Hashtag butt stuff with Kat.
Butt stuff with Kat.
You know, we'll say it first. I take Manjaro, Lord willing. I'll just tell you what's going on in my life now because I'm still waiting on my prior authorization. We gotta pray on that. But I have Plan B and Plan C.
Yes, got the plans. All the plans in the land.
This is our life in the GLP-1 community, right?
This is what it's like.
You just go through it.
And I sadly think this is probably what it is for a lot of people with chronic diseases. You know what I mean? It's like when can they get their medicine? When can the sick people get their medicine? And I know this is people that have battle with cancer and, you know, all these different things. Like, it's sad that it's so difficult to get a hold of medication and have it be affordable in this country. So we don't really know what we're doing here other than just trying to help people, but we're hoping we get really, really annoying and that people try to shut us up and give us medicine.
Right. You know what? The community's getting a lot really, really annoying.
I'm being very, very like, I'm oversimplifying, but in a way, I do hope that I annoy people enough that they're like, okay, these people, I hope we drive change. I don't know what that looks like, but ultimately I will want some change to happen. And you know what? Right now it's not big change. It's not here's your medicine for less money, but I don't know about you guys, but I get messages, I would say daily, if not several times a week about how this podcast has changed their lives. Like, because of the things they've learned here, not because, you know, but just the way they used to talk to themselves and the way they used to think about themselves and the things they've learned, and the combination with the medicine. So, you know, we may not be making a huge change yet, but we are making the little changes, which if you add them all up, pretty big change, you know,
a little dent, you know, gonna lead to a nice big hole where we can throw the PBMs down.
Down the hole, at least friggin' regulations for this buttheads. That is a PBMs. Anyway, hey JT, who are you? What you doing? Why are you here?
Oh, I am just JT, the Janine. I am just a little flight attendant that loves to fly and slings peanuts and beverages. And I do some safety stuff too.
Yes. You are You are not being true. You take care of people and protect people in the air.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yes. And you make sure they eat their food and don't faint.
I thought they were cookies. I thought they were those biscotti cookies.
Yes. So the Biscoff cookies, and I don't know what, but I don't know why people, and people say that it's almost like Mounjaro and Zepbound. You know how some people say that they feel it's a difference, even though it's the same medication, right?
It's just like
people feel that the Biscoff cookies on the plane taste better than the ones that you can buy in the store. You know, it's the same cookie.
It's the same. Right? Yeah.
You know what?
It's the same cookie.
FYI.
You use that as a comparison. People say that because you should if you don't. You should.
But it FYI, just
different in the air.
Biscoff cookies, because I bake, make fantastic cheesecake crust.
Yes, they do.
Oh, I bet.
Yes, they do.
They're deliciously glutinous. I can't
And what you can really do, little flight attendant tip here, is you can bring some cream cheese with you and a lot and some lime and you can put the cream cheese and the lime juice on and the lime on top of the Biscoff cookie and make key lime pie.
Girl, I bet that's delicious.
You know
that's your next tip of the day video, JT. Write down. You heard it here. Tips from a flight attendant. And that is the one, how to make key lime pie when you're going to be on a Delta flight.
I do it in the galley all the time.
Those little packets, those like highly concentrated.
Is cream
like
cheese protein?
Oh,
I feel like
gosh.
The answer is no.
I think the cream cheese might be some protein in there.
Maybe.
Oh my
I think
God.
We should ask our experts. What do you think?
Yeah.
Ask the experts today. We will welcome in our guest. We shall. Oh, we shall. Look, it's Dr. Matea Rentilla.
Hi, Dr. Matea.
Hi.
And another. Dr. Ali. Novosky? Say it for me.
Novitsky.
Novitsky. Got it.
Novitsky. Look,
I have to make it sing songy.
Okay, sorry.
We're glad to have you here at our crazy little podcast. Well, we are so glad to have you here. This will be, so for our listeners as well as viewers, this is going to be roundtable discussion, and we're going to be talking a lot about debunking a lot of the junk out there. You know, like that Zepbound is different from Mounjaro, you know?
Like, people swear it is. I know.
Look at I think that's what we call. Like, no.
Awesome.
I'm like, look, I'm not a doctor, but what I do know is that the FDA says they're the same. So I'm okay with that. You know? Well, we've had Dr. Rentilla here before, but first, Dr. Rentilla, if you will tell us a little bit about who you are and how you help people, because people haven't seen your other episode. So, because
yeah, first of all, I love this podcast so much. So thank you every time that
we
you
love yours.
We love
yours.
We love yours.
So if anyone's new to me, I'm Dr. Rentilla. I'm a board certified internal medicine and obesity medicine physician, and I have the Rentilla Metabolic Clinic. It's a telehealth practice for residents of Indiana and Illinois. And I'm really passionate about helping people with their metabolic health. It's not just about shape shifting, but really to feel better. And that takes more than just the medication, things like that.
That's so true.
Yeah.
What about you, Dr. Ali? Tell us a little bit about who you are and how you help people.
Well, I love this. And I just want to thank you so much for having me on this podcast. And just before I introduce myself, okay, I just have to tell you that instead of the Biscoff cookie, you can take a Metamucil Fiber Thin and do the same thing and get a little more fiber and enhance your GLP-1.
Ooh.
I felt like that was the right thing to say.
Debunked already.
Look. Ooh.
The first debunk. I like it.
And
I
so,
like
okay.
it.
I say that because what I do, so I am an obesity medicine physician. However, I did start off as an intensive care doctor for newborns.
Ooh.
And then what happened is my passion really is all of the things that we do talk about in obesity medicine. So nutrition, exercise, Ooh. Cognitive behavioral therapy, and then really the addition of the medication has been a game changer for so many. And so I became board certified in obesity medicine. And so I really help individuals
instill the lifestyle parameters of obesity medicine. And so one of the things that's really unique about my practice is that I can work with anybody in the entire country because I'm focusing on exercise, nutrition, and mindset. And then I partner with doctors like Dr. Rentia, where she's the doctor prescribing the medication. And so it's a really nice, beautiful way to be able to support the community. And also I love it. Like, I just love it so much that I can't believe this is what I do for a living.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. I love your videos.
I love this work.
They're so informational, but I'm straight obsessed over the stuff. So
I love it.
Clearly.
We all do. We're just like,
we all do, because you can't like be sick your whole life. Right. Yeah. Or for a long time. Right. If it's not your whole life. And then all of a sudden get better and in the brain get better sooner than the body gets better. You know what I mean? But then, I mean, there's a lot of work to do and we'll talk about that. And then like we tease that we're GLP-1 evangelists, you know, because we're all like, hallelujah, you know, because it's when you realize like that you were just sick and now you can do all the things you always wanted to do, but you just couldn't get it done, you know, or keep it in play. And now you can. And then it's like, all you want to do is tell other people that are suffering, that don't know and are like beating themselves up every day all about it, because there's so many of them. And, you know, it keeps me up. I'm not going to lie. It keeps me up. The people that don't know, you know, anyway, I digress. So lovely to know. Thank you so much for sharing that.
I'm excited. Yes. Let's get started.
There you go, Kat.
We're going over all
the
bull crap that's floating around all the GLP-1 community. People say this, people say that. First and foremost, the one that like just grinds my gears is muscle loss. Everybody's talking about, and I have seen doctors on their, some doctors on maybe commercials on my social feed say, Ozempic causes muscle loss. A GLP-1 causes muscle loss. Is that just standard muscle loss because you're losing weight? It's been my personal experience that I have put on quite a bit of muscle, but I want to hear it from your two lovely ladies' mouths. Is that BS?
Is that BS? Oh, BS or not BS? That is the game today. I've decided.
Yeah, it's BS. It's crap. It's crap. It's crap.
Okay, good.
It's crap. Yeah.
Yes. So, crap or not crap. Better.
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
It's super interesting because I'll tell you about 2 years ago when I was running one of my programs, which was all women physicians. I got this frantic message from one of the physicians in my group. And she said, oh my gosh, did you see the study? GLP-1s and muscle loss. So my programs are very heavy in the strength training and in nutrition. And so I was like, this is not a thing. I'm not worried about this. So let me tell you something. Without being on a GLP-1, if you're not strength training, and we can talk about kind of the recommendations, because I'm all about minimal amount. If you're not strength training, and if you're not eating adequate protein, for every pound of weight that you lose on the scale, up to 24% could be lean mass. Okay, that's without a GLP-1. So the issue is that with GLP-1s, a lot of individuals that are going into doctors there who are not as savvy as Dr. Rentia, who is giving the recommendations on the protein, they're not hungry. A chicken breast doesn't sound that great. They're not eating the protein. They're not strength training. And so by default, they're having the same amount of loss as you would without one. However, we're now blaming the medication because why not?
Yeah, why not? It's nothing like villainizing something that's actually working and threatening lots
of
billionaires just in America. False.
And I think, Allie, you can speak to this too, but I mean, I can share literally two examples from this week. So what's really interesting, both of us use in our practice body composition testing, right? So for example, and again, Allie, you can talk much more about this, but the in-body scale, there's a home version that's very accurate. And I have so many patients where let's say they think that the weight's not going down, things like that. I literally had someone this week where in the past 3 months, they lost 6 pounds of fat, put on 3 pounds of muscle. Now, again, that's not typical for everyone, but majority of my patients, in fact, all of them that are tracking, no one is ever losing maybe over, like maybe here and there, I'll have like a 10% loss. And again, it's usually someone that can't get enough calories and we have to work on that. We have to slow down the med pace. We've got to, I mean, there are steps that we have to take if that's happening. But again, majority of them, we're really getting creative with how we get the protein. And we do have to work at it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes people have different food aversions on the meds, or they get sulfur burps, or like different things happen. But mm-hmm. when I'm following the data, it's astronomical how many people can maintain or gain. I didn't think it was possible until I was tracking the data. So Allie, what do you see? Because I think you've even longer than me incorporated that in your practice.
Absolutely. So the really cool thing, and again, you're going to learn this really quickly about me. I'm all about simplicity. So I'm going to give the bare minimum for everything that I know will work. So basically over the past several years, by me just recommending 100 grams of protein, and that's just over 3 servings a day. If somebody wants to fast, it's a serving and a half twice a day. So 45 grams twice a day to get to about 90. And there's studies, like there's a study on Navy SEALs that showed with their intense amount of training, as long as they're getting 100 grams of protein, they're really not losing a whole lot of muscle mass. In my practice, that's what I see. As long as I'm able to have somebody hit the 100 gram mark, I am not seeing muscle loss. And then when we add the basic minimum amount of the strength training, I'm seeing muscle gain, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
And what is your minimum amount of strength training?
So glad you asked. Because
I know the answer. I know the answer.
I've been playing with this for years now. I've gotten it down to 10 minutes, 3 days a week. So 30 minutes a week.
Wow.
I do 10 minutes, 5 days a week now. Now it's just a kettlebell. It's nothing crazy, you know, but like.
It counts if you'd be doing your body composition testing. So Allie knows this because I work with her, but I'm like, I've been gaining muscle with the 10 minutes, 3 times a week. And in fact, if I do more hungers up, I'm losing it, but literally don't discount the kettlebell. Like it doesn't need, like, it's not insane. Oh, what you're doing.
Yeah. I it works good for me. I like it. Okay. I could do it in my office. It's very quick. Like I do it, I start my day, and it's nice to be doing something with my hands. If that makes sense. Like I find, because like I'm on the internets all the time because businesses, right. It's like, it's, you know, when you're at, you know, like when you're an advocate, like you're doing all the things in all the places, mm-hmm. right? But if I have to stop myself. And so like, if I can clean, or I also clean too, like that helps you. I just go and I'm like, I'm going to clean everything in here. And then I just go at it. And I hate cleaning, but I love it because when I'm doing it, I'm like letting my mind go, if that makes sense. Like there's a lot of things that I feel like these are things I never did before, these medicines. I was also just, I think just really hurt all the time, all the inflammation and the weight and the bones and the joints. And like, now I have so much more mobility in general. Something one of the doctors recently, we had an event, and one of the doctors mentioned, like, don't ever discount like your own body weight being a way to strength train, like using your own body weight. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but it was just, I thought it was very brilliant.
But what about resistance bands? Because I have a little mini stepper and it has the bands now.
Oh, that's cool.
So like that be strength training, or do you actually have to have a weight?
It's absolutely strength training. So one of the things that I do with my job, that's why I say I have like the best job in the world, is that I travel to conferences and lead mind-body workouts. And they're all strength training. We don't use equipment. By the end of those 3 days, people can't walk. And so I'm just, and they can't walk because I'm so energetic and I'm talking and I'm excited. So maybe I'm moving faster. But the point is this, like, this is strength training. You know, pushing your hands against your hands. This is strength training. This is an isometric movement. Isometric exercises have been shown to be the ones that actually increase our strength the most. So this whole concept of you need equipment, you need time. Nope, not really. So resistance bands, you're actually doing more than is required, right? You're actually adding additional resistance. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what I heard you say is that Mounjaro, Ozempic, Wegovy, Sexcentive, do not eat your muscle. That's what I heard you say.
No, right? It does not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Because I'm all sick of that. I have some deeper questions though. Someone made a joke recently that they were like, you know, if you're 400 pounds and you need to lose weight on a GLP-1, don't worry about muscle mass right now. You have a lot of fat to lose. And it got me wondering, I mean, I don't think it was anybody, you know, but it got me wondering, like, in terms of muscle mass, do you need the same amount of muscle mass when you're in a smaller body that you need in a bigger body? Like, because I don't know about it, right? Like, I'm thinking, like, you have, like, I feel like more muscles to carry yourself around, right, in this bigger body. Do you need the same amount when you're in a smaller body?
I love this. Can I just offer something? And I'll keep talking all day long. So, like, you can.
Oh, sure.
And it's like, okay. You know. So I want to offer this. Individuals who have had to carry around more weight, this mm-hmm. is a body positivity thing. Mm-hmm. You actually are going to be blessed with an increased amount of lean mass. Mm-hmm. So whether you need it or not, why don't you just keep it? Because sure. then you're going to have like some guns. You're going to have like some amazing muscles. Your VO2 max, your ability to like hike a mountain is going to be out of this world. Mm. So I don't know if you need it, but why not keep it?
Okay. I like that. I like that.
I like that.
Might as well keep it. I'm all about mind shifting. Like, I just love that kind of thing. Like,
you know, maybe think is that I guess that it's a comment or a question or would be a comment. I was, you know, over 300 pounds at one point in time, but I always loved fitness. And I just think to myself, like, wow, how much muscle is true. You know how, like, when you have this popular misconception, if you're heavy, you can't move. If you're heavy, you can't, you're not limber. Honey, like I can smoke you in class, Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So I guess at the same time, and this might go into the deeper questions, like, how does that affect you? You know how, like, when you have insulin resistance, it's working in your body right now, but I'm still like so diet culturing and working out like a nut bar. Like,
is nut bar.
I was telling myself, does it combat any sort of insulin resistance at all? Or was I just fooling myself?
No, it definitely does. So actually, the more muscle you have, the more insulin sensitivity you're going to have.
Okay.
So in other words, it's the idea of, okay, this is how I like to explain it, because I like to simplify everything. So imagine you have a lot of muscle mass and you go ahead and you do a strength training routine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're using up all the glycogen stores and all your muscles. Okay. So let's say now you finished your workout. It's time to eat. So you're going to eat a meal, but you already got rid of all the glycogen stores in your muscles. So what happens is you eat a meal and you're going to have some insulin response with your meal. So insulin is going to be it's a storage hormone, right? So the first thing it's going to do, it's going to push all the substrate, all the food, the glycogen and all the good stuff back into your muscles. So the more muscle you have, right? So if you have this huge pool of muscle to bring in all of that substrate, you're not going to have a whole lot hanging out to go back into the adipose tissue. Okay, so in other words, what happens over time is that you're going to need less insulin to do the same job. And that's the whole idea behind insulin resistance. You need a whole lot more insulin to do the same job. And insulin is going to be inflammatory. It's a fat storage hormone. So actually, one of the best ways to improve insulin sensitivity is going to actually be strength training and gaining lean muscle mass.
You know, guys, the other thing that no one's asking, but I feel like we need Ellie to talk on it. Okay, so people might think, okay, I'm coming from a larger body. I'm losing weight. No big deal. I'll lose some muscle as I'm doing it. Like you said, Kim, right? Like, what's the big deal? But when you know how hard it is to gain muscle, like, Ellie, can you talk about those numbers again?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that'd be great.
Let's say that you lost 20 pounds of muscle this year. You lost 100 pounds and 20 pounds of it was muscle, right? Like, how long would it take you to put it back on? Because I think that gives you perspective of why you're fanatic about eating your protein and doing strength training and keeping it.
Yeah.
100%. That. And so this is really interesting. And so a lot of times when individuals will say, well, I'm on the med and like, I'm not losing anything. If you actually ask them sometimes, like, okay, listen, like, have you done a body comp? Mm-hmm. Because as Dr. Rentia is saying, the idea is that to lose muscle mass is actually kind of easy. Wow. It's actually pretty darn easy. Gaining muscle, if you are a woman over the age of 30, and particularly if you don't have just the right body type, Dr. Rentia actually has, like, she's like bionic. She has like the perfect body type to gain muscle and she puts the work in. So that's why she's having like ridiculous results. But the idea is that to lose muscle is not hard. To gain it is very difficult because many of us don't have the body type that's actually going to put the muscle on naturally. So it has to be a mesomorph muscular body type is going to be the easiest body type. And here's the other part. And this is another body positivity thing. If you are in a larger body, having a little bit higher of a body fat percentage is also going to help you gain muscle in the beginning. Okay. Mm. So the advantage points would be, you know, if you are carrying some additional body fat, now's the perfect time to do some strength training because you're going to be at an advantage to actually gain muscle. Mm. And so then as you lose weight, right, potentially, you know, we expect some muscle loss, which again, if you are strength training 10 minutes, 3 days a week, and if you are eating 100 grams of protein, right, mm-hmm. we can probably keep that 10% or less, which is what we allow. If you do that, you will preserve your basal metabolic rate. Okay. So you're going to continue to lose body fat. And then the other part of this is, you know, eventually, because you'll have that good basal metabolic rate, if you are eventually in a place where you're like, okay, I lost all the weight I want to, mm-hmm. I'd like to do a little body recomp right now. I'd like to mm-hmm. actually get some muscle. You're still in a position where you're metabolically active and you're going mm-hmm. to be able to feed yourself in a way that's going to promote more of a building of the muscle. But to do that, I'll say this. Even with the ideal body type, a muscular body type with enough body fat and eating enough food to make this happen, the average woman over the age of 30, maybe they can gain 6 pounds of muscle in a year.
Wow.
Mm.
6 pounds.
Wow.
Muscle. Wow.
I'm not talking about like a CrossFit athlete who has professional coaches that are training them and they're taking all the supplements and they are eating in yeah. a massive surplus. I'm talking about the average woman who right. is fit and goes to the gym and,
yeah.
you know, you're doing your best with your protein. You're listening to the people. It's not your full-time job though. So yeah. that average person, mm-hmm. if they're really putting the effort in, about 6 pounds.
Wow. Unbelievable.
This is why, like in my mind, when I'm working with patients, I think it's a whole hell of a lot easier to just find a way to get the protein in than it is for years. You think the weight loss is hard for years on the back end, you having to do that other work. No one's wanting to sign up for that, right? And then yeah. the bigger challenge, the thing practically, like how does this relate to everyone else is like, you're going to gain the weight back. So yeah. if you're losing a bunch of muscle, you don't want to gain the weight back. So this is the thing you have to care about. Like this is literally like two things for you to be successful on it.
I eat way more protein now than I've eaten in my entire life.
Me too.
I'm telling you, I never paid attention. I probably ate like a little bit of protein and carbs and fruits and whatever. Other than when you diet, you know what I mean? And you're like, mm-hmm. everything's measured out for you and all the things. And I've been doing that since I was 8, but I would say like I think it's gotta be helping, but like, it's interesting because I will tell you, my struggle has always been getting in enough calories. It does not matter what dose of the medicine I'm on. It's just how the medicine works with me is a mental thing. I have to force myself to eat. And I don't mean force myself to eat like, I have to sit down and commit to a few bites. And then I find my body lets me eat. It's like, oh yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Okay, let's do this. You know,
that's
and then I can
so eat.
But getting over that hump for me is a mental like thing I fight every day. You know what I mean? Wow. But I for sure always prioritize protein at every meal that I have. Everyone. I snack and whatever it is. I think the hardest part for me is that I don't have an emotional relationship to food anymore. And that has been bizarre. Awesome for me because like that for sure contributed to the binge eating disorder. But also like really different. Like there's just so much mental work I think to do with these medicines like we were talking about before. But yeah, thank you so much for clearing that up for us. I feel like we had several sort of like nuanced questions around the muscle mass
yeah. thing,
but yeah. it's really good to know. And I think people, it sounds like, hey, like let's try not to worry about it so much. Like go in, prioritize your protein, trying to get in 100 grams a day, which is what, like 30 or 40 ish per meal, right-ish. And then try to do 10 minutes, 3 times a week of strength training.
So easy. Just
simplify it. Yeah. I like that. HAT, I'm sorry. I know you had a question.
No. I mean, these are questions that we're getting in the community and mm-hmm. yeah. about the, you know, about the muscle mass, about, you know, the working out and the strength training. And I'm glad that you were able to clear up that you don't need weights, but And I know Kat had said the Vans also, but I've got this mini stepper now, and I'm just so excited.
I saw it on your live today. You were doing
yes, it. And I literally was, you know, just doing this, and I'm like thinking to myself, I'm hoping this is working, but I think it is, but I really enjoy it because I can do it while I'm watching television. Yeah. So like instead of sitting, I'm watching television. And also I've started Pilates. Nice. And I have never hurt like that in my life. And yeah. And
works all the things.
Yeah. And it didn't hit till like 2 days later. Oh, I thought I was fine. I'm like, oh yeah. And then I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, I really can't move. Wait a minute. I can't move. And it took me a minute to move. And yeah. Thinking you're on the reformer, you wouldn't think that your body would maybe ache that way. It was mm-hmm. a 30-minute introductory class. Yeah. I've done Orange Theory. I've done, you know, high hit training, which I just don't want to do anymore because I'm just over
don't need
50.
To.
And yeah,
and that's yeah. 10 minutes three times a week.
10 minutes.
What you like?
Yes, 10 minutes. But with and I'm definitely gonna ask my question, but when we talk about body recomposition, and maybe you can touch on this question. Later, like what are some of the best ways to recomp our bodies? Because they're completely different from, I know my body is even different from when I was like in my 20s or in my 30s.
So where did our butt go is the question. Where's our
my
butt?
My butt is gone.
My butt's gone.
I know where mine is.
And yeah. I know you know where your butt is on fire.
Yes.
Mine you guys, Kat's gone. Butt is amazing. I mean, she does butt
doing
stuff.
Doing standing right now. But go ahead.
But, you know, so but. Like, you know, hopefully, like, but hopefully, you know, we can, you know, touch yeah. on that. But, or you can just add on to it with this question. You know, we caught one of your TikToks about increasing GLP-1 hormone. So could you expand on this beyond the limited time we have on the beyond the limited time that we have on TikTok?
Yeah, it is brief.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. So many good things. So I can definitely hit on the body recomp, but I'll honestly say, as long as you're willing to do it for the long haul, if you can just continue that protein and continue that 10 minutes, 3 days a week, you won't even have to work at recomping. You will recomp. Right. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the way that I design programs, I'm typically for women over the age of 30, I'm making sure we're hitting the glutes like crazy and that we're hitting our upper back. Cause we tend to definitely deactivate upper back and we deactivate our glutes. So that's one of the biggest things.
Those are definitely deactivated for me, doctor.
I mean, and it's easy. You're and right. a lot of,
yeah. I don't know where any of them are anymore. They're gone. Yeah.
So, you know, so all the stuff, anything that you can do to activate your body is going to be helpful. Getting into the GLP-1s, Dr. Rentia can also hit on this as well, because we were actually having a conversation. We talk all the time. We love sharing information and whatnot, but we were talking about this. And I think the one thing that she actually brought to my attention that I want to say up front, and this was like her kind of hitting on this, which I appreciated, is the idea that if you're suffering with, and I don't want to say suffering, but if you have obesity and I tell you to eat some Brussels sprouts, it's not going to be enough. Okay. So I'm going to share ways that you can increase your GLP-1 naturally. I'm just saying that's not what I'm prescribing if I want to help you have healthy metabolic health. Okay. Yeah. So I think it's worthwhile to enhance your GLP-1 naturally. Some of the reasons for that will be, do you want to stay on the med? Will you be on the med lifelong? Do you want to keep the lowest dose possible? Okay. Right. So there's a lot we can do where you can say, hey, listen, like I will prescribe you the medication. You will be on it for your life. And that's okay. This is going to help your metabolism and your metabolic health stay healthy. And there's some things you can do so that we can kind of get you the lowest dose so that we can extend your dosing interval, or we can do whatever we want to do. But the point is with the GLP-1 increasing it naturally, one of the fun ones, and I'll hit it right off with Brussels sprouts. So it's actually the bitter receptor. So we have a bitter receptor. So GLP-1 is actually a hormone. It's produced in our intestines. And stomach, intestines. And the idea is that this bitter taste receptor, once we activate that bitter taste receptor, like we're going to have activation of GLP-1. So we're going to have GLP-1. And the other thing that Dr. Rentia pointed out is that GLP-1, natural GLP-1 that you're producing in your body, because we all have it, the half-life is very, very short.
It's 2 minutes. I looked it up before. 2 minutes, and it gets broken down by DPP-4, which is, you know, like a lot of the diabetic meds will be, that's another thing that we're targeting, right? We're targeting GLP-1, DPP-4. So anyway, I just wanted to say 2 minutes, right?
2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two minutes.
I still like Brussels sprouts.
So broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, things like that. So that's going to be a way that if you incorporate them into some meals, you might find greater satiety.
Yeah.
Exercise. So exercise is one of the ones that increases the amount of GLP-1 naturally by a landslide. I'm talking like hundreds of percentages, like 700% in one study. And so how much you ask? And I would just say, you know, move daily for 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And not strength training, but, you know, get your steps in. So any kind of activity you can do is going to naturally enhance GLP-1. Hydration, believe it or not, actually enhances GLP-1 naturally. Protein enhances GLP-1 naturally. Stress management. So we like to ignore stress and we like to ignore sleep. We're like, oh yeah, well, sleep and stress, those are negotiable. Those are non-negotiable.
Okay, the stress Dr.
Yes. So kind of finding a de-stressing practice, right? Hydration. As you can tell, though, there's a lot of different things that you would have to do to really kind of keep pumping out that GLP-1. And then if you talk about supplements, some of the biggest ones you'll see are going to be things like, you're going to hear berberine thrown around a little bit. Right. You're going to hear allulose. Allulose is actually a natural sweetener that's been shown to significantly increase GLP-1. But again, like it's what Dr. Rentia said, it's not going to be there for that long, but it's going to enhance it. And then the other cinnamon, cumarin, like things like that. But again, the impact for somebody who actually needs to have obesity treated, that's not going to be enough. It's going to enhance, right? But it won't necessarily be enough. This would be good for somebody. Like if somebody says, I don't qualify for the med, what do I do? Well, let's start with some things that we can do and then let's see where we get.
Yeah. That's so interesting. You know, talking like around the deficit area and people with obesity, you know, obviously needing more resistance, right? We've had a lot of doctors come on the show that sort of are of the mind that we don't even need to call it obesity anymore, that we need to have a different word for it, like a definition. And one of them most recently, who's an obesity specialist, said, we really should just focus on it just being a GLP-1 deficit. Like this, that's, you know, like if we wanted to, you know, like what you'd like to do is oversimplify, right? So I'm curious what you guys think about that. If you have an opinion, should we call it something different? Like how can people understand it better? I don't know, with the change, I can't help but wonder if that would help the society piece, you know?
Well, it's quite often in medicine that we'll recategorize something. I want to give you a different example because everyone's always here when they think about weight. But so for example, if you hear the term chronic fatigue syndrome, that used to be, you know, a thing, like a term that we would use. Well, then now when I was going through training, they used chronic exertional intolerance syndrome, right? So it was like, they wanted to basically highlight, like, this is actually what these people are going through. Like they can't handle this. Like just exercise every day and increase what you're doing. They actually burn out really quickly. Like they need to lay down for 2-3 weeks, like, you know, depending on who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes to this, I remember when I was going through training and I can't remember what the letters stand for. Maybe you remember, Allie, but it was like, they wanted to call it like A, B, C, D, E. I can't remember. Basically the bottom line is they wanted to call it like an abnormal adipose disease, right?
Yeah.
Like so fat tissue, right? And that's ultimately what's happening in obesity medicine, right? There's either metabolic derangement from abnormal, what the adipocyte, the fat tissue is secreting, the hormonal changes in the body. And then there's biomechanical, which is like, you know, physically I'm getting sleep apnea, the throat's collapsing, I'm getting osteoarthritis of the knee's collapsing with arthritis, you know? So it's like, we probably could change the name. Would it help with stigma? Possibly. I think we're heading toward those things, but I don't know that it's, I mean, really the term obesity is not that old. I mean, it's, what was it, like 2013, I want to say that it became actually recognized, right? So we're not that far into it, but I think people are starting to understand it's an actual metabolic thing. And this is not willpower. This is not a decision. Actually, I work so much with patients on that. And instantly when they start the meds, they say, I get it. I get what you mean. Because I never chose that before, but I didn't realize that because I judged myself. I don't know, Allie, if you have any further thoughts on that.
No, I love that. So I get the idea. We definitely have to continue the work with the stigma. And I think that obesity is such a complex disease that we almost have to honor it in that way. And so it's kind of like we do. I mean, I would love a name where people could, because I sometimes even when I say obesity, I'm not, you know, it's kind of like it feels a little bit like not perfect for me. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is just, I mean, what you just said, Kim, just about not having that emotional attachment, because it is in our brain, it like, right? So it's in the brain, and it's, yes, it's GLP-1, but it's also GIP, right? So Mounjaro and Zepbound, it's hitting two different, you know, parameters to help with it. So I love how people are thinking on it, and I love how together we're coming to try to decrease the stigma, and it's so complex.
Yeah. I will tell you, there's something about this. And I think that it, and I'm curious how you guys feel, but like saying that I have obesity or that I am obese was very, very difficult for me. I just wanted to fit in, you know? Mm-hmm. And that term itself, because when I would go and look at my paperwork, leaving saying that I was grossly, morbidly obese, I can't even tell you what that like did to my brain, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for sure, I was like, well, I've tried everything or something I could do about it. And then I just sort of shut off, you know? And I just wonder if there's like just a way for like us to understand that it's more complex. I just think that as people that struggle with it, you know, that are not medical experts, it's very difficult. You know, and I think some of us have said, let's call these anti-obesity medication treatments, right? That's been something I've been hearing kind of bop around on TikTok, anti-obesity. And like one weird thing. So I had the termite guy come by. If termite guy, if you're watching it, it's weird, but you know, you were here. And he hadn't seen me in a year. He comes by every year to check the termite things, you know? And he was like, you've lost a lot of weight. And I'm like, thank you, man. Like first, yeah, these are facts. I was like, yeah. And he's like, how much? And I was in the middle of like a meeting upstairs, and I was like, cause I needed to like get back, you know? And I was like, oh, about 100 pounds. I was like, over the past like 18 months or so, he's like, well, that's the way to do it. Good for you. Or some crap like that. And I just looked at him, and I was like, and he goes, how are you doing it? And I went, anti-obesity medications. And he just stared at me and he goes, oh, like that. And I just stared at him. I just was like, I got no time to explain this to you, buddy, but I'm not going to lie to you. This is what's happening, you know? And he goes, well, keep it up. And I wanted to punch him in the throat so hard when he said that to me. Nobody should ever say keep it up, ever. Because someone who struggles with obesity like this, like, and that term and the disease and the shame and the blame and all of the different things, we have had people tell us that every time we've ever been on a diet and lost weight. And we're also hearing, and I've asked a lot of people about this, you know, that you haven't lost enough yet. So here I am, 100 pounds lighter, right? My health is in such a good place, other than the fact that my butt ran away, you know? And for whatever reason, this 60-something-year-old man thinks it's okay to talk about my body at my house when my husband's not home, regardless of that. Like, it was so weird. And it happens. That kind of crap happens all the time. Yeah. And what I think is interesting is like, to going back to like, and we'll go into like the gaining it back thing, but that's part of obesity, right? Is the chronic piece of it and the gaining weight back. So that's why I just like wanted to like see if there's just a different way to refer to it so that we can refer to the treatment better so that other people who just don't get it, people who are not trained or do not either have obesity or really love someone that's seen them struggle with obesity, they don't get it. When you talk about food noise, they're like, you can't you just stop eating? Like, they don't get it. So they automatically go, you must be less than, you know, you must be weaker than, you must be sadder than, you must be. And of course, then we, of course, internalize all that, because if people who love us think that, then maybe that's what we are. And it's just, I just think there's, and we're trying to change that on the podcast, right? Like that we're asking hard questions and having hard conversations about it to try to at least drive a narrative in a direction of, I don't know, innovation, change, you know? So
yeah, I will say one thing in medicine, we're I don't ever in my notes use like morbidly obese, like those type of terms are not used anymore. We have
grossly morbidly obesity,
right? So we have different classification systems and ways of using it. I'll tell you this though, only recently did it make its way into the EMR where I could even pick it as an ICD-10 code. That's how as physicians we pick what it is. Yeah. And so literally the world might evolve to some point, but has all the nomenclature made its way into the EMR? I mean, it's complicated on many levels, but I think that these conversations, I'm hoping that like, let's say in 10 years from now that we're just in a radically different place, it's just like high blood pressure.
God, right? I hope it's like 5 years from now, man. Like I hope it's,
you're really hopeful on that. I just know how deep it runs with people.
I'm just saying we have to add to, let's manifest 5 years.
Yes, we just have to be positive about this.
Well, this is what I'd like to offer as like a different perspective.
Yeah.
You have people listening on your podcast right now who maybe don't meet the BMI criteria for obesity and they have obesity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So if we're saying this, I got chills, so that's real. Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea, right, is that, okay, so we know environment and we know genetics. Obesity is hugely genetic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like it just is. Okay. Yeah. So my point is that, you know, individuals who maybe are in their younger years and let's just say don't meet the BMI. And by the way, I do not like BMI, but they don't meet the BMI criteria. They don't have obesity, right? Like quote unquote. And they do though, because in their patterns, their entire genetic makeup has already predisposed them. And eventually they're going to see the symptoms of, they just don't see the symptoms of yet. So I think what's interesting is that, you know, people can sit around and shame other people and they might be sitting there with the same exact disease.
Yeah. Oh. That's so interesting. Does that go back to like, because you're right, like the whole BMI, that's really what they do, right? And then a lot of doctors, like Dr. Antia told us that like they'll measure, you know, like sometimes like someone said, well, never should a doctor say that you have obesity just by your BMI. They should be like measuring you and like measuring your thing. And I'm like, I am 44 and I have yet to have a doctor ever do that to me. And I've had this weight issue forever. I can't think of a time where I look back. I do remember this shift as a little girl being, because genetics, right? Back to your point. I swear I'm going somewhere. Is a little girl, and I was always tallest, like biggest. I was thick, you know, I was almost 10 pounds when I was born. Big human, you know? Yeah. And I remember people being like, oh, like that's just her baby fat. Like I would hear that all the time. It's just, she just hasn't lost her baby fat yet. That went on for a long time. And then about like the age of 8, that was when my middle sister was born and my mom was trying to lose weight and she went on a diet to lose weight and I went on it with her. And from there on, it was up and down and up and down my whole life. And I think I remembered Dr. Rentia saying recently that like 70% of your weight is genetically like predisposed or something like that. Isn't that what you said? 70%.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a really high percentage. So people think they have this, that it's their free will and they have control over it. But it's like, Kim, I always share I'm the same as you. I mean, I was in kindergarten. You can see the photos of me next to my sisters and I'm just larger. And it's like, I remember loving the snacks in kindergarten. That's like one of the only things.
We would
make a stone soup into this and that. And I remember that's the highlight. And like, that's genetic, right? When you're remembering the snack in kindergarten, I mean, come on, right?
Yeah. That's like the emotion, like the dopamine that you're like registering right from that moment. You know what I used to do? Everybody else wanted the celery, by the way, celery, I may try it again, but I've always hated it because it's yuck. But I would take the, remember like the little logs, like we would put the peanut butter in and the raisins and I would just be like, hey, whatever. That's protein and fruit. I don't hear nothing.
Iron, raisins are full of iron. I used to work for the Red Cross.
I was nutritious.
A lot of raisins, full of iron.
Yes.
That's true.
the top prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveen makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveen. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.